Please be seated. And now I'll ask Brother Graham Smith if he'd like to come forward and to give us his address on the manifold wisdom of God. Thanks, Brother Graham.
Good afternoon, everyone. In the latter half of the 18th century, 1770, 1775, or thereabouts, William Cowper wrote the words which now comprise hymn number 99 in the Bible Students' Hymnal. It's hymn number 63 in Hymns of Dawn. The first two lines of hymn number 99 read, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. I often wonder what led William Cowper to write those words. I can think of perhaps three reasons. First of all, he might have been a keen observer of the world around him, and his observations could have led him to conclude that there was a God. But beyond that, it was all a mystery. But then, when I read verse 3 of hymn number 99, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. When I read those words, I am inclined to think that William Cowper might have had some detailed knowledge of God's working in the world of his time. And so, after all, he was the son of a clergyman. The third reason why I think he might have written the words of hymn number 99, he might have been just putting to verse and rhyme the words of the Apostle Paul that he wrote in his letter to the Romans. In Romans 11 and 33 we read, O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now, I don't know whether any of those reasons were the reasons that William Cowper wrote the words of hymn number 99. But I do know why the Apostle Paul wrote those words in his letter to the Romans. Because 11 and 33 of Romans is Paul's conclusion to an argument which he had been mounting from earlier on in his letter. We haven't got time today to go back to the very start of Paul's argument. And so I'm going to cut in to Paul's argument at verse 25. That's Romans 11 and verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Paul did not want them to be ignorant of this mystery. And that to me presents something of a paradox. It was a mystery to some, but Paul did not want them to be ignorant of that mystery. Now, Paul's letter to the Romans certainly went to the Romans. But since that time, Paul's words have been printed in millions of Bibles and been read by, I dare to suggest, hundreds of millions of people. And yet, William Cooper said, God moves in mysterious ways. And so, in spite of Paul endeavouring that they would not be ignorant of the mystery, as far as William Cooper was concerned, it was still a mystery. Why is this so? Maybe the meaning of the word mystery is significant. The Greek word from which mystery is translated is mysterion, which Dr. Strong defines as a secret or a mystery through the idea of silence imposed by initiation into religious rites. And when I see Dr. Strong's definition, to me the paradox is resolved. Yes, it is a mystery to those who are without, to those who are not advised or informed about the secret imposed by initiation into religious rites. Now the secret, or the mystery, is comprised of two parts. In verse 25 we read, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part is happened to Israel." And that's a mystery. That is a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Well, those who look at history can readily understand that it is indeed a mystery. And I suggest that Israel's blindness, that is to say, their failure to recognise that Jesus was the Messiah, that is due, is a mystery for at least three reasons. First of all, Israel's ancestry. When Jesus was debating, not so much debating, but trying to shake the Israelites out of their blindness, that's badly put, because he knew what God's plan was. So I shouldn't say he was trying to shake them out of their blindness. That's an error on my part. But he was contending with them. And their reply was, "We have Abraham to our father." Now that's significant. That is a significant statement, in my opinion. In other words, the Israelites of Jesus' day were aware of their ancestry, right back to the days of Abraham, which of course was well before the days of Jacob, whose name was indeed changed to Israel. And so you can say, why did the Jews or the Israelites not understand that Jesus was the Messiah? We have Abraham to our father. Why couldn't they recognise God's dealings with them ever since that time? Perhaps that's one reason why it's a mystery to those who understand the history or the ancestry of Israel. A second reason why Israel's blindness is a mystery is the history relating to the Passover. And there are a few important points about Israel's observance of the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, we read, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And so knowledge of the Passover was perpetuated throughout all the generations of Israel since the actual event when they left Egypt. And frankly, I was surprised when I was in Israel last year to really see firsthand how prominent the Passover is today in the minds of current Israelis. Yet, they could not understand why that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Now, they're just two examples from history. In Romans chapter 9, we have a summary of all the other of God's dealings with the Israelites, which should have led them to recognize that in fact Jesus was the Messiah. And Paul says, therefore, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. What a record. What a history. And yet, they failed to realize that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. Why were they so blind? The third reason why I think it's a mystery that they failed to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah is given to us in Matthew chapter 11. The example of John the Baptist. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Undeniable evidences, surely, that Jesus was the Messiah. And yet, they still failed to acknowledge or recognize him as the Messiah. As the Apostle John says, as though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Why did they not recognize him? John continues to tell us why. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. John was quoting a prophecy from Isaiah. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. And the passage from Isaiah, from which he was quoting, is Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." So Isaiah was prophesying that God would indeed shut their eyes, close their eyes, and their ears, that they could neither see nor hear. But in view of their background, in view of their descendancy from Abraham, in view of all their experience with the Passover and the perpetuation of the Passover memorial year by year, even to their children, even down to 2011, why would God close their eyes? Well, the Apostle Paul, earlier in his letter, tells us why God closed their eyes. In Romans chapter 11, reading from verse 8, we read, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not see." "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day." We've read that in Isaiah. But Paul goes on to say, "And David said, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always." So not just Isaiah prophesied Israel's blindness, but David also. And Paul, in this verse, was quoting from Psalm 69 and verse 23. But reading on in Romans, Paul then says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles." And there are some very important points in that verse. And David said, "Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see. And I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid." That is a very dramatic statement. God forbid. Because the meaning of the Greek word there is an absolute denial. In other words, it's heresy, it's blasphemy to even suggest that God would have blinded their minds so that they could not see. God forbid, he's saying. Absolutely wrong denial. The reason why God blinded them was rather through their salvation, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. Ah, there's the mystery to those who are without. There is the secret to those who are within. As Paul also said in his letter to the Galatians, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And there are some important points in that verse also. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. That's a critically important point. Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. So the Israelites' failure, the Jews' failure to recognize Jesus as their Messiah, their blindness, was not something that happened at the spur of the moment. It was not an afterthought. It was something that God had planned very much earlier. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. And then he says just that. Would justify the heathen. And who are they? Who are these heathen that God was going to justify through faith? Verse 14 says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Yes, this was God's plan, foreseeing that he would justify the heathen through faith. That is to say, us, the Gentiles. And brethren, isn't that still a mystery? Isn't that still a mystery? Of all the Christian churches, of all the Christians' preaching, which is done throughout the world, how many times have you heard the blindness of Israel being explained? That it was, the reason was so that God, foreseeing that he would do that, was going to graft in the Gentiles. That's the first part of the mystery. The second part of the mystery is that this blindness of Israel is going to end. That they are blind only until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And of course that means that when the church is complete, their blindness will be removed. As Paul says, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Yes, this is his covenant unto them. This is my covenant unto them. But it's so easy to say, yes, yes, yes. But that was God's covenant back in those days. But since then, Israel have transgressed. They aren't worthy to be called part of God's chosen anymore. They deliberately transgressed. They said, this we will do. And they haven't. So surely God's cast them off, wouldn't you think? But God says, this is my covenant with them. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, they will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night. The Lord of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Brethren, do we capture the significance of those words? Let's just read them again. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. That's the only condition, which will cause God to disregard the people of Israel. And therefore, he will honour his covenant. The fact that Israel had transgressed so many times since they experienced the Passover and all tabernacle services and so on. Yes, they have transgressed. But God is going to make a new covenant with them. And the only condition which will make him withdraw from that covenant is if the sun, the ordinances of the sun and the moon cease. Then Israel will cease from being a nation before him. In other words, his covenant is absolutely guaranteed. It wasn't only to the Romans that Paul explained this mystery. He also wrote of it in his letter to the Ephesians and Colossians. We haven't got time to go into all the details of those two letters, but I would like just to read some verses from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 4 and reading from the Revised Version. Whereby, when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men. Some critical words in there too. As it hath now been revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And there's the secret. There's those who have been initiated into the secret. Those who have the Holy Spirit. They can see these things. Those who haven't got the Holy Spirit cannot see them. They are still a mystery to them. That the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Unto me was this grace given, to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, which from all ages hath been hid in God, to the intent that now, under the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, might be known through the church, that's the calling out of God of the church, Jew and Gentile, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, brethren, are we not privileged to understand how God has foreseen all that he has done? He has planned it out. And we who have the Spirit can rejoice in the manifold wisdom of God.
Thank you, Brother Graham, for the address. Brother Graham has chosen hymn 99 to close his address with. So, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. That's hymn number 99. We'll have the words on the screen. Please rise.
Oh,
Colin Giles to close our session. Thanks, Brother Colin.
Our Heavenly Father, as always, we give thanks for the services of your servants here that to explain and to tell us of your great wisdom and the privilege that we have of knowing of your purposes and of what is to happen in the future. So we give thanks and glad that we have heard that message of being come into the temple of the Lord and also to know about your purposes. So bless us and keep us, and may we meditate on those things and encourage one another to be more to service and to help one another in your doing your will. For all these things now we give thanks. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Cole.